Could you give it up for Chef Andre Clark?
Good morning, Revive. It's so good to be here on this morning. I want to say, and I guess I got to move swiftly, but this time last year with the top shooting on 514, I lost my aunt, Pearl Young, who was 77 years old, never even made it into the store. She just left a prayer breakfast that we were hosting at my church. And I want to just say publicly how much I love these two individuals, the Beers family, because they not only just called and checked up on me, but they continued. There's sometimes when you go through life circumstances, people are there that day and that week, and then they leave. But they have been constant and consistent friends, full of prayer, wisdom, counsel. I just threw something else at them that they're praying with me about, and we just believe in God for whatever's in store ahead. There's a custom that I have at my church, and if y'all don't mind me doing it here, I like to sing a little bit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Let your glory now fill this place. For we long to feel your spirit. Let your presence now fill this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Let your glory now fill this place. For we long to feel your spirit. Let your presence now fill this place. The Niagara River cuts a path between Canada and the United States. And it flows like Lake Erie, from Lake Erie to Lake Ontario, and it has a very strong current. I'm not going to be there because I can't swim. Y'all understand that, right? So I'm not a daredevil. I'm not trying nothing for the first time. Come on, Andre, we got life jackets. No, not going to happen. But as a thought, can we get this thought in our minds on this morning let's imagine that you entered into the Niagara River without me, okay? But you know, shoulders high without me. Okay, but there's where your feet, you know, can still feel the bottom. You can still feel the bottom. There's a few different choices ahead of you. You either move against the current, stand entrenched and don't move, or you move with the current and stand and swimming with the current, or you can choose not to get in the water at all. Stand right next to me. We have choices, okay? You don't have to get it. Think about your preferred answer. Think about what you would do. Think about your response. And we're going to come back to that idea in just a few moments. But we're going to see today that through this exercise is an analogy to both our place in the church and to the movement of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit is an anchor to our Christian faith. One of the persons of the Trinity, and the Spirit breathed life into our souls, bring the presence of Jesus into the midst, renews our hearts, makes us whole. The Spirit is active and beckons action from us. Today we're going to look at closely how the early church responded to the gift of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say gift. It's a gift. It's free. It's gift. And as it records in Acts chapter 2, here is the background for today's text. About 10 days after Jesus' ascension, the disciples were gathered with the entire Jewish migration for the festival known as the Festival of Weeks. It was one of the festivals that required every Jewish able-bodied person to come into Jerusalem. Jews in this time expressed their trust and devotion in God through giving an offering of their agricultural labor. Come on, what they had, similar to how we Christians in the 21st century give of our tithe and offering. It is a time of celebration. Happy. Mm-hmm. I'm a happy person. Y'all forgive me. You know, just happy. Just joy. Just got joy down. Jesus joy, you know. And there's a massive crowd that has gathered, and it's at this point that the Holy Spirit descends. There was a violent rushing wind along that what appeared to fall on them, tongues of fire. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And naturally the people were confused. What's going on here? This is something different. This is something unique. We haven't seen or heard anything like this before. But they began to speak, and they were hearing their own language or dialect in this upper room. Well, here come Peter. Now, Peter, whether we believe it or not, even in the before the ascension of the Holy Spirit, before the crucifixion of Jesus, Peter was always bold. Peter had no problem saying, "I walk on the water." It was you. We believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know. Peter didn't mind speaking out. And here we find that he preaches a famous sermon which explains the significance of these events that is happening. It's found in Joel chapter number 2, verse 28 through 32. But it says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." Now, this sermon often describes as the founding of the Christian church, and we're looking to pick up the story as we go through the Word of God on today in Acts chapter number 37, Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 39. Now, watch what verse 37 says. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" What's next? People come to church and have an experience, but then really got to come to the grips at what is next. And as far as we know, this is Peter's first attempt at a sermon. I didn't see anywhere else where he was practicing in the woods. I didn't see how he was practicing with his mic and how he was going to put his hand in his pocket. This is just Peter being moved by the Holy Spirit. So, man, this man, Peter, must have been, you know, a really good preacher, because the Bible says that 3,000 souls was added to the church. Well, it's not about the man. It's about the Holy Spirit that is now indwelling in the man. Y'all still with me? Now watch this. Watch this. Some of these people could have been the same people shouting, "Crucify him," not too long ago. When Jesus was on trial just a little bit ago, and Peter was one of Jesus' closest followers that denied him. Y'all remember that part, don't you? And this as a side note, don't never let anybody hold you hostage by a moment of doubt. Don't let people identify you based upon a moment that you had. It was just a moment, but he recovered. And my prayer is when we have moments of doubt, that through the Holy Spirit that we have a moment, but we can recover from it. Let me keep going. But see, he denied Jesus. Yes, he did. But here, they didn't listen to Peter. They listened to God speaking through Peter. They listened to the Holy Spirit. This is what it means to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. So watch this. Whether you want to believe it or not, somebody jot this down somewhere. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Now, conviction should not be negative. To be convicted means to be transformed. That's a good thing. To be convicted is to have purpose. Conviction is the act of process of convincing, the state of being convinced or fixed or strong belief. In this world, conviction is a gift for the purpose of alone. One aspect of conviction is courage, which is to act on those convictions in faith. Have you ever felt convicted? Have you ever felt moved to do something, to act? Have you ever seen an injustice? Have you ever seen a need and you were convicted? Your faith, whether we believe it or not, conviction means where I stand. And no matter what the world does, my convictions cause me to stand on the word of God. The world, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So the crowd was convicted by the Holy Spirit from hearing the gospel. And hearing the gospel demands a response. Essentially, the crowd asks, now what? The Holy Spirit calls us to action. Another aspect to conviction is commitment. It beckons us to do something that aligns with the heart of God. You have to do something. You are convicted. You hear the word of God. And now the response is, I have to do something. Peter answered the question of now what with three commands. In Acts chapter verse number 38, Peter replies, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now let's unpack this real quick. There's three commands here. Although Peter states three commands in a certain order, we got to recognize the first one is repent. We have to repent. Repentance is another one of those concepts and words that sometimes have a bad reputation. You know, I don't know why repenting seems so negative to us, but repentance is literally to turn, to change, or to alter. That can and should be viewed positively. Y'all love me already. Listen. Whether y'all believe it or not, if I get invited back because this time next year, I plan on being a little thinner. I don't know what's so funny about someone altering. But let's be honest, is that it means that there must be a change. So literally, a lot of times we like to have people repent for drunkenness and gossiping. But I had to repent for overeating. I had to repent knowing that I'm diabetic and I still like a lemon meringue pie. I know I shouldn't have it. Forget y'all. Y'all looking at me funny. But you got to understand, it's a positive thing. Repenting, change, altering your lifestyle, altering those habits that are harmful to you. It is a beautiful thing. Watch what Matthew chapter 3, verse number 2 says. It says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come. It recalls that Jesus used these same words after his testing in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Now, in response to those words of the crowd, Peter follows in that example by starting with the word repent. Repentance is an act of hope. When we turn from our sins, when we turn from our selfishness, when we turn from our shamelessness, when we turn from our pride, our lust, come on, our arrogance, we turn, watch this, we turn towards God, the eternal, rather than our own gods that are only temporary. We turn to God. So watch this. You cannot turn towards God without turning away from the things he is against. That's what my doctor said. My doctor said, you eat no more fried chicken. No more fried chicken. He said, I can have fried chicken. You can't have. He was telling me that if I want the results that I say I do, there are some things that I must change about my eating habits. Oh. I'm still wrestling and everything. But you have to turn. This is Peter's command. Pursue the heart of God. Y'all see that? Through repentance. Repentance is more than just feeling sorry. It is the changing of one's mind and direction. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a terrible thing to have a married man with a single man's mind. It's a terrible thing to have a married woman with a single woman's mind. There's a different, you have to change the way you're thinking. Oh, God, watch this. The second thing is that we have to be what? We have to be baptized. Y'all believe that? I believe with all my heart that the Wesleyan Church, especially Revive Wesleyan Church, because I haven't seen the pictures, I haven't seen the videos, we believe in baptism. Baptism is a way that we profess to the Lord that Jesus is Lord. In our lives, Peter's exhortation is to every one of you to be baptized. Y'all saw that? Now, if you look at the disciplines of the Wesleyan Church, let's read it. It says, we believe that water baptism is a sacrament of the church commanded by our Lord and administered to believers. It is a symbol of the new covenant of grace and signifies acceptance of the benefits of the atonement of Jesus Christ. By means of this sacrament, believers declare their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. See, turning towards God and standing still is not enough. We can't turn towards God and stand still. We can't turn towards God and stand still. It requires a movement towards God, fulfilled through Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus is our great high priest who mediates on our behalf with the Father. Hebrews 10, 21. Jesus is the Word made flesh. John chapter 1. To turn towards God means to turn towards and walk in Jesus's lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. That's what worship really is. We make worship into a medley or a song or the type of beat. But worship really is our lifestyle. How we live, how we walk, how we act, how we treat people. It has to align with God. Peter encouraged believers to turn towards God in repentance, and he commands all of them to, watch this, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, their Lord. And then he asked them to receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Just because a gift, is offered to you, that doesn't mean that you have to participate with it. All of us have gotten a gift that we haven't used. It's just collecting dust. How many people got a room full of stuff that you go in when you're late for a party? I see some heads. And you say, I forgot to go get this wedding gift, but I know I got a bunch of stuff that other people have given me that I'm sure I can use today. Come on, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you blink, amen, let me know that. Blink, I see you blinking, I see you. Watch this, you have to catch this, is that we cannot say that we're gonna receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and then do not participate, I like this word, or be activated in the Spirit. I don't care what nobody said. I had a debit card. Anybody else ever had a debit card and you went to the store and tried to use it and it didn't work? And I'm now looking all kind of embarrassed. Becky, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. I'm all messed up. I'm all jacked up. I'm saying, this card worked. I said, rub it, rub it, rub it, rub it. Try it again, rub it. So now I go on my phone and I show her, look how much money I got in my account. This got to work. She said, it's not working. I called the bank. And the bank says, yes, you got your card, but you didn't activate it. Just having the card in your wallet don't mean I have the money. It's there, but I had to activate it. We have to participate with the Holy Spirit. Now, did you notice Peter's three commands? They are parallel to some P's that I think y'all got right today. We're supposed to pursue the Father. That's repentance. We're supposed to proclaim Jesus and be baptized. Watch this. That's being baptized. Participate with the Holy Spirit, and that's receiving the Holy Spirit. See, the mission of as a church is to continue in the mission set forward by Peter in the sermon on Pentecost Sunday. See, we think that Pentecost Sunday had everything to do with the tongues. The tongues only gave us, the Holy Spirit came to give us boldness. Acts chapter 1 verse number 8 says, ye shall receive power, and after that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, not just to speak in tongues and roll on the floor and, you know, saying, grab snakes and throw them around. That's not the reason for the Holy Spirit. The reason for the Holy Spirit, that you be witnesses both unto Jerusalem and into the world. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. We've made the Holy Spirit into emotions, whether we cry or whether we, Acts chapter number 2, verse 39. It says that the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. See, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Somebody shout everyone. Even the person you don't like, the Holy Spirit's for that person too. Even the one that allows their dog to poop in your yard, and the Holy Spirit's for that person too. Whether you believe it or not, if we're going to be honest, God's promise of the Holy Spirit's for all of us. I'm so glad that it's for me too. But what it means to be a church, and why the day of Pentecost is so significant to both of us, you know, for us to celebrate, you know, let's go back to the river. The river that I'm not getting in. Naturally, I've gotten into the spiritual river. I've already been to the water. I've already been baptized. Watch this. But here's the truth of the analogy. The church is a movement toward the kingdom of God born on the day of Pentecost, led by the Holy Spirit. So here's how the Wesleyan church describes this. The Wesleyan church is praying to become a movement, a kingdom force unleashed everywhere to everyone in order to see lives, churches, and communities changed. Do you see that happening right here in East Aurora? That lives, community, even this church is changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the river represents the Holy Spirit, and we represent the church. If we move against the current, we are moving against the Spirit. We cannot become a kingdom force that way. And even if we decide to go the other route, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, the Spirit flow is not altered in any way. That current is going to keep flowing. The Holy Spirit is going to keep flowing whether you like it or not. Let me say this and I'm done. My mentor, he just left yesterday. He was with our church for our Pentecost revival on Thursday and Friday. And he is the bishop of the Congo. And so he's on his way back in a few weeks. But he said the van that they had kept breaking down. So they put him on the back of a motorcycle with a man. And whether you believe it or not, that's an uncomfortable thing, to be sitting in the back of a motorcycle with a man. And so he had his hand on his shoulder. And one of the older women in the village says, Bishop, you must, watch this, you must get close and hold on tight. You got to get close and hold on tight. The driver had a helmet. He didn't have no helmet. But he had to get close and hold on tight. And he says, I begin to kind of hear from God, like, okay, get close, hold on tight. And here's the beauty. As the man began to go, and he's never been on a motorcycle, as the man began to drive this motorcycle, I've never been on one. He says, as he began to go on those turns, the driver would turn left. instinctively, he turned his body with the driver. Then the driver would turn right. And instinctively, he would turn right. What the Holy Spirit wanted to teach us, that if we're going to be a part of the movement, we got to grab hold, get tight, get real close, and we got to move with the driver. The driver is the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it our own way. I know that it sounds cute and it sounds real fancy, but if we're going to be a movement that changes lives, changes churches, change communities, we got to grab hold, get real tight with the Holy Spirit, become intimate with him so that we can move as he moves. What do you sense God is saying to us? What do you sense that God is saying on Pentecost Sunday? Which way does he want you to move? Have God convicted you in any area of your life? It could be how you treat your neighbors. It could be how you act at work. It could be how you love your family. But we want to be convicted by the Holy Spirit so that we can continue to move with the Holy Spirit. I don't have time for that last scripture. Come on, praise the band. I'm so sorry. They was waiting on that scripture from, I try to get to it in the second service. I don't care what nobody say, it's a beautiful thing to ride the wave. You can't fight against the current. The reason why I don't swim to this day, because my uncle thought when I was 10, it was cute to throw me in the pool. And I was splishing and splashing. And all he said was, stand up. Sometimes you don't know that you're standing on a firm foundation, which is God. Can we pray? Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for who you are in our lives. God, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds, God, that we would follow those three P's, that we would pursue you, that we would partner with you, God, that we would want you even more. Bless us here at Revive Wesleyan, that we will continue to be that force that's a part of the movement that was started over 2,000 years ago, that we will be spirit-led. And God, we thank you for this time and this moment with you. In Jesus' name, amen.